Traditionally, the right to vote has been one for American citizens, which has been the benefactor of great protection and its function with devoted responsibility. And that's a problem for some people. Those people see America's voting system as a hindrance for them to achieve their goals. So if they can't change it to their favor, they seek to manipulate it to their will. How? Well, a lot easier than you might think, as my next guest details in his new book, Fraud, How the Left Plans to Steal the Next Election. He's the research director for GAI, whose previous work has revealed a variety of political and money games being played in the world of politics. Eric Akers, how are you today, Eric?
Hey, it's great to be here, Chris.
And let me give you the website, too. It's voterfraudbook.com. And before your ears glaze over thinking it's heavy on stats and it's going into every little nuance and nook and cranny, but what Eric has done in about 165 pages is really driven the point home of just how rampant and unfortunately how easy what we thought was a protected voting system can indeed be corrupted. And that word easy, just how easy can it be done?
Yeah, it's actually criminally easy, Chris. And I think, and I appreciate you pointing out how big of an issue it is. You know, what we found is, and I work at the Government Accountability Institute, which is a nonpartisan, nonprofit think tank that believes in facts. And we believe in the mantra of we want to show, not tell. So we pursued was an unprecedented effort to see just what the actual votes that were cast in the 2016 election told us about votes and how closely they followed the letter of the law. And so we gathered all the publicly available voter rolls we could get, which is 21 of them. We gathered a computer database that we could use to filter the information, and we hired a data expert. And what we found was stunning. We found 2,100 instances of double votes in the state of Florida alone. And as you know, right, that's nearly four times the margin of victory in the presidential election of 2000.
Oh, yeah.
What that means is that 2,100 people cast a ballot in the state of Florida and then cast a second ballot in a different state. So that was basically the starting off point for the book, because you realize, well, hey, if this much double voting is happening just in one state, which, by the way, is only one type of voter fraud that can occur, then, you know, I think we've got a major problem on our hands. And so I began to pursue and look into other things, and then I discovered kind of this coordinated effort by Soros-funded groups to create an atmosphere in which voter fraud can thrive. And they do it in two ways. Number one is they fight against any effort to improve or increase voter security, right, or the security of elections. So the state of Ohio is a classic example, and there's a close congressional race there that was seeing just how important this stuff can be. So in the last few years, the state of Ohio has had to fight Soros-funded efforts to do two things. They've had to fight Soros-funded efforts to implement and continue to implement their voter ID law, and they've had to fight Soros-funded efforts to be able to cleanse their voter rolls of illegal or dead voters. Now, they've been successful at both those fronts, but it just shows you. So that's one way the Soros group operates. They fight against any effort to increase voter security. But at the same time, they fund groups like ACORN and the RAZA, and then go up and they, under the guise of community organizing, they're gathering up as many voters as possible and cramming them and funneling them through these gaping holes that exist in election security, regardless of whether these voters should be voting or not. So that's basically the outline of how it happens.
And if you wonder, well, voter fraud is always dismissed as, well, it's a vote here, a vote there. What difference does it make? As you mentioned, with Florida, and certainly in the special elections we just saw recently, where it used to be elections were won by thousands, tens of thousands of votes spread, it's very much more common today versus yesterday that it could be a few hundred votes making a difference.
Absolutely. I think the Kansas gubernatorial primary was just settled by maybe 90 votes. The congressional election in Ohio right now is about 1,000, depending upon how many ballots they found in a Trump last night. So it continues to get closer, and it just shows you that vulnerabilities that occur can absolutely impact elections. You know, while the margin of victory in the presidential election in 2016 was maybe 3 million from a popular vote standpoint, the reality is that 70,000 votes over three states swung that election. So it's incredibly close. And when you've got people that know where the vulnerabilities are, I mean, by the way, Chris, there's 248 counties in this country that have more registered voters on their voting rolls than they have citizens of legal voting age. So we've got massive problems with the way that our election and data is collected and stored. The Supreme Court cited stats in its ruling on Ohio that said nearly 3 million people are registered to vote in more than one state. You know, as many as 24 million voter registrations are flawed or significantly inaccurate. That's 1 in 8 voter registrations in this country. And these groups, they know where these problems are, and then they go and they exploit it. You know, just to show you how comically easy exploiting voter inaccuracies can be, the state of New York, actually the city of New York, they sent in undercover investigators into New York City, and they voted in different precincts, and they were going to impersonate illegal voters on the voting roll. So these are undercover agents. They went in to cast ballots as either felons or dead people or people that had moved out of the state, right? So non-residents who shouldn't be casting ballots. And they tried to cast a total of 63 ballots. Well, Chris, 61 of them were successful. Wow. And this is maybe one of my favorite stories from the book. One of the only two ballots that wasn't successful was somebody that was trying to cast a ballot on behalf of a felon who I believe was incarcerated at the time. And the only reason why they were unsuccessful is because the felon's mother was actually working the polling place. So these are the stories of just how comical the reality of voter fraud is. But unfortunately, when it comes down to election vulnerabilities impacting elections, it's not funny.
Not at all. We're talking about Eric Eggers, whose book, Fraud, How the Left Plans to Steal the Next Election. VoterFraudBook.com is the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Now, these aren't actions taken by the street-level voter, poll workers, campaign low-hangers. You can look at the top right of the ladder. Tom Perez comes to mind, for example, head of the DNC, who is very not just well aware of what's going on, but is a great instigator of what's going on.
Well, think about the fight that occurred a few months ago when the Commerce Department announced they're going to include a question about citizenship on the 2020 census, which to me is not really that controversial of an issue. I don't know how you feel about it, but the idea of when we're trying to get a sense and a tabulation of how many people are in this country, hey, how many of them are actually citizens? That's not to say that other people should be deported or whatever, but yeah, how many of them are citizens and how many of them are not citizens? I think that's a question that seems reasonable to ask. But Tom Perez and these Democrat attorney generals throughout the country all screamed bloody murder, and they threatened to sue and do everything they could to stop it. And Tom Perez, and this was really to me the tell, Tom Perez invoked the phrase voter suppression. So somehow the idea of asking about citizenship was voter suppression. And I think the reason for that is because it's a clearly articulated strategy on behalf of the Democratic Party that they want to expand non-citizen voting rights. And this is not a new issue for Tom Perez. Before Tom Perez worked with President Obama's Justice Department, he worked for an organizing effort that was also source-funded called Casa de Maryland. In Casa de Maryland, their big push was to extend voting rights for non-citizens. In fact, Tom Perez is from a city called Tacoma Park, Maryland, which has actually allowed non-citizen voting since 1992. So I think while the headlines were generated by San Francisco recently allowing illegal immigrants the right to vote, the reality is that Democrats have been pushing for this for a long time, and it's actually starting to make a difference. There's a poll from a few years ago that shows for the first time ever, a majority of Democrats believe that illegal immigrants who pay taxes should have the right to vote. 54% of Democrats believe non-citizens should have the right to vote. 53% of self-described liberals feel the same way. Now, that's very different and in stark contrast to the rest of the country, but it shows you where the mindset of Democrats is today, and I think what the plan is to continue to try to have electoral victories in the future.
Boston as well has allowed illegal aliens to vote, too, albeit in school board elections, because their reasoning is, well, their children go to our schools. Why shouldn't they have a say in who oversees the school system? That's another debate for another time. But when you look at possible solutions, when you have states like New Jersey who don't want to purge their voter rolls and refuse access for any second party who wishes to review the voter rolls, if you want to institute a voter ID, but then, well, I'm going to be called a racist if I am, so maybe as an attorney general I might want to avoid doing something like that. What's the likelihood of solutions actually coming to life out of all this?
Well, if you're asking me to predict what the likelihood of anything happening in New Jersey is these days, you know, I'm certainly no expert in that. But what I would say is that you're exactly right, right? Requiring voter ID, one of the reasons why there's some hesitancy to do it, and this is true basically for any prosecution of voter fraud, is that there's this racial undertone. Somehow you're trying to suppress minority turnout. And I'm not saying there is not a history in this country of of unfortunate issues with voting along racial lines. But today, requiring ID, you have to use a driver's license if you want to buy a beer, you want to get on an airplane, or if you wanted to attend the Democratic National Convention in 2016, you'd needed a driver's license. So I don't think it's racist to ask people to use an ID. And in fact, there is no evidence to support that point, right? And the evidence actually says the opposite. In Georgia and Alabama and in Ohio, they passed voter ID laws, and minority turnout was actually up after they passed those laws. So, so I think it's important just to be aware of that fact, to have courage to stand and push back against some of those points. And then the second thing would just be, why can't we remove dead people and illegal voters from voter rolls? The state of Ohio recently won a Supreme Court verdict which allowed them to do so. So we'd like to see more states follow their suit. And then at the federal level, I think for whatever reason, Amazon knows every time I look at a book, how come we can't tell whether or not somebody's registered to vote? How come we can't tell whether or not somebody's a citizen when they register to vote? So we should have some federal verification of that, I think. Those are three common sense things, the local, state, and federal level, that I think would give us a shot.
Well, that's lacking a significant backbone by those who are supposedly elected leaders to institute these changes. And hopefully Eric's book, Fraud, How the Left Plans to Steal the Next Election, will empower those in those decision-making seats to indeed purify, strengthen, and protect our American voting system. Learn more about the book, and more importantly, add it to your mandatory reading list at voterfraudbook.com. Eric Eggers, thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Chris. It's my honor.